97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. I was just waiting for the ooh, and then I can talk. How you doing? Happy Veterans Day. Thanks to all of our incredible men and women in the military for giving us the freedom to do something silly like talk for a living. Okay? I appreciate you. I do. We appreciate you so much. The Annie Fry Show crew is going to be participating in the Veterans Day Parade in Edwardsville, Illinois today, 3 p.m. So get there early, bring a chair, cheer the team on, and cheer the veterans on. More importantly, the veterans are what it's all about on Veterans Day. So please check that out. It's going to be on North Main Street, 900 block. And you're going to go on Main Street down to West Street. So please participate in that if you get a chance. Bring a chair and all that good stuff. Florissant Veterans Day Parade was yesterday, and the Mark Cox crew was out there doing that. And then, you know, it's just wonderful to appreciate our veterans and publicly do it. That's important. Jesse Jane Duff coming up here in just a few moments. And, of course, Tom Ackerman from KMOX. Looking forward to talking with him about the Chiefs because Ethan won't talk to me about the Chiefs. So the heck with you, Ethan. I'm moving on.
That's fine.
You got nothing for me? I'm moving on. I'm just going to save it all for Tom Ackerman. The heck with you.
And he's great at it, so that's who you need to save it for. Listen,
I love my Chiefs, even if Ethan Hannaford, who my Ethan Hannaford, my former producer here on K97.1 FM Talk, I was going to say KMOX, he was hating on my Chiefs over the weekend. I texted him yesterday, and I said, you know, I left for church, and they were winning, and then all of a sudden they're tied. So I'll just, you know, he doesn't hate the Chiefs, but he was, never mind. I won't bore
poking him. The bear.
He was poking the bear because he knows how I feel about it. So he gets very upset about the whole thing. One of the biggest winners in the Trump situation has been Elon Musk for a lot of reasons. Right. And one of them is that they're going to leave X alone, I think, at this point. Now, had Kamala Harris gotten in to office, they would have tried to shut him down. By the way, we've got a clip on this. This is clip number two, Ethan, if you can play that for me. This is what the media folks are saying about censorship because they can't stand the fact that they've lost the narrative. Here's a little of what they've had to say.
I think in a normal country, we would say, hold on a second, maybe we need to have a different set of regulations for social media platforms now that they're this big.
It would help if we could regulate social media because one of the biggest offenders is DC and Congress have not been able to do one thing in regard to the rogue corporations of social media.
And then moves them through YouTube videos, through podcasts, moves them from that annoyance all the way slowly, slowly, slowly to a full-blown fascist politics. We don't have the equivalent of Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson to move that man in a feminist direction.
Go yourself. Is that clear?
That's Elon Musk. God bless him. All right, so here's the thing. They're whining. They don't have a Joe Rogan or they don't have any of these people. You know, there are plenty of liberals out there. Tons of liberals on YouTube and podcasts and things like that. Find an audience. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, he's gained his audience organically, and that's how you do it. You put out things that people are interested in hearing, and they check it out. So what it comes down to also is that X has been, and I love what Elon Musk put on X on election night. Can I be honest with you? I was watching that more than I was watching almost anything else. I had something on my laptops, probably CNN. I watched a lot of CNN because I would rather watch them lose their minds. I don't find Fox's coverage that interesting on election night. That's just me. And I didn't want to go to a watch party because most of the watch parties are going to have Fox on. And I don't find that interesting. I'd rather watch CNN, MSNBC. I skipped around quite a bit. But I was watching X a lot. And at the end of the night, Elon Musk tweeted something so powerful. He said, "You are the media now." And he's exactly right about that. We are the media. You know, the days of, you know, Walter Cronkite or somebody else at night telling you, your parents, your grandparents, you know, this is how it is. That's over. They've lost control of the narrative and they can't stand it. They want to. And this is the thing. That's another thing that happened with Trump being elected. The left is trying to silence us every way they possibly can. And they can't stand the idea that Elon Musk can put out things like, you know, whether you like him or not, Alex Jones and obviously Joe Rogan, all these other things like that. They can't stand it that you have access to it. No one's telling you what to think, but you should be able to have access to different points of view. And when I'm on X, I look at all points of view all the time. I know what the other side thinks. That's another problem with the folks on the left. Many of them don't have a lot of friends who think differently than they do, or they don't have a lot of, I don't know, anybody in their life who thinks differently, or they've, you know, decided to exclude any family members who don't agree with them, or whatever. Everybody around them, it's like a bubble that they live in. So they don't understand what happened on election night because they don't know anybody who thinks differently. They've never talked to them. I do. I get on X and other social media and news, various news outlets every day and look at all points of view, all points of view. Things I absolutely don't agree with. But they've lost their minds and they don't want you to even have, you know, look what happened during COVID. I have a YouTube channel now, another one, like a backup one, but I had a YouTube channel and I was on Vimeo. They cut me off. They didn't like something I said about COVID shots and they just cut it off. You know, meanwhile, the CEO of YouTube died from cancer at 56. Anyway, but I'm pushing disinformation. Yeah. Anyway, the point is they don't like it. They don't even want you to have the opportunity to hear a dissenting point of view on anything. We all know that. Well, Elon Musk has now apparently, this is great, his stock, the Tesla stock, has got up to $1 trillion after Trump won the presidency. Wow. Shares rose in Tesla to $321, up 8.2%. And they put the company's valuation at $1 trillion. Now, one of the reasons, obviously, that Elon Musk backed Trump is because he's, you know, worried about his own hide, as he should be. No, but there were all kinds of shenanigans going on with the Starlink that they didn't want to provide it in certain neighborhoods. I don't have a Starlink, but I do have a camper. Mark Cox and I talked about this on Friday on the air. The idea that he was jealous of my camper because I could do the radio show from there. I said, well, you could too. I just stay close to a signal. But if you have a Starlink, my understanding is you can do it from anywhere or, you know, get on the internet from anywhere. I don't have one because I don't have the need for one. But, you know, he was offering them and people were saying no. You know, I mean, you know, this is all political. It's all political. Somebody's got technology that would help people and you don't want to push for that. Remember when they had those fires in Hawaii, there was one guy doing videos and he had a Starlink. That's how he was doing it. One guy was getting information out there about the folks who were being destroyed in Hawaii. One guy had a Starlink. So whether you like Elon Musk or not, the man's a genius. But he was concerned, obviously, he should be, about what they were going to try to do to X. Because he allows people like Bette Midler to get on there and trash him. There are a lot of celebrities who literally trash him on his own platform, and he allows it. There are people on there who are big proponents of Gaza. I mean, Iran's head is on there. He's on there talking about Israel and this and that. I follow him. I follow all kinds of points of view. And you should. You should. And, you know, when people say, I want to silence the other side, why? Don't you want to know how they think? You need to know. I'm not saying I'm going to follow some, it's crazy person when someone's pushing, you know, violence or something like that. But you need to know how people who don't agree with you think. And maybe you can try to educate them and turn them around, or maybe not, but at least you know who they are and what they think. And you should be able to decide for yourself who's telling the truth and who's not. But they don't want that. There was that very famous clip a couple years ago of Mika Brzezinski talking about, you tell people what to think. That's our job. I had somebody tell me that one time. I was interviewing a local newspaper writer. And he said, well, you tell people what to think. I said, no. I said, I don't tell people what to think. I said, you think you do in the newspaper, talk radio. We don't tell people what to think. We give you our point of view based on the facts. And we give you our spin on it, if you want to call it that, or our perspective on it, or our snark on it, or whatever else. But we do not tell you what to think. I don't tell anybody what to think. If I say something, I would hope that you would come out and say, is she crazy? Did she say that? And look it up. See if I'm telling you the truth. My pastor is always saying, you know, if you look this up for yourself. See what it says. You're supposed to be doing that. Think for yourself. Look at all the information, but the left does not want you to do that. And so Elon Musk has benefited tremendously, and all of us, and I don't know if the election would have been the same without Elon Musk, without X, and all the information that was out there from all the different sources. I don't know. It was just one more nail in the left's coffin, that's for sure. All right, coming up, Jesse Jane Duff's going to join us. I cannot wait. I've got some questions for her. some things I'd like to see Trump do coming out of the box. I really would, right out of the gate. Tom Ackerman joins us coming at the bottom of the hour. KMOX sports director. We're going to talk a little Chiefs football and some other things and much more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. You can follow me, all socials, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, all that good stuff. All right, guys, coming right back. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. Always a privilege hanging out with Ethan Bright this morning. Oh, I'm so excited to talk to Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Dupp. But as you know, she's got her own theme song, which is very cool.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Always fun to have Jessie Jane Dupp join the Mark Cox Show. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
Oh, I'm so motivated to be here, honestly. I have to laugh at that theme song every time because I'm like, nobody listens to me when I say you will speak when you're only spoken to. You know, that doesn't really go over well in the civilian world. It only works well when you're a drill instructor in recruit training. But hey, I'll take it. I enjoy it. You know, Mark seems to think that I can get everybody to shut up, you know, but obviously not.
I think it's great. Well, thank you for your service on this amazing Veterans Day. And thanks for taking time this morning.
Well, of course, absolutely. You know, we had such a glorious week last week. I think we're all high on air right now. Just air. It's been euphoria.
Yes, it has been. I want to ask you a question. As a veteran, all right, this is important to me. There are millions of dollars being wasted, thousands of people being affected by these sex change operations, quote unquote, in the military. I would like to see Trump give them all a medical discharge day one. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, not at all. In fact, President Trump did have a policy that was actually very fair to people that had gender dysphoria if they had already transitioned prior to joining the military and had lived in that gender for 5 years and had a doctor verification of mental stability because of the it being diagnosed as gender dysphoria. They were able to join. But that got quickly reversed by Joe Biden and his cabal of people that wanted to try to make the military an equal opportunity organization and a civil servant type job versus that of the best and brightest to overwhelm and destroy the enemy. So, yes, I believe it's about $250,000 per surgery. Why wouldn't you join? Have it done at taxpayers' expense. I challenge, is there even any obligation to continue to serve for a certain number of years? Because during that time of surgery, somebody is no longer deployable.
That's right.
Not only that, with gender dysphoria, there's lots of different levels you have to go through. Apparently, you have to wear the women's uniform or male uniform and live in that gender without having surgery for over a year. So that means men will be in showers with women, taking the physical fitness test with women. I am sorry. This is just ridiculous. It's as absurd as when they let these male athletes participate in women's sports. It's equally insane and unfair. Not only that, it degrades the readiness and morale and unit cohesion.
That's important. We're speaking with Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Dupp. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. That is so important because, you know, recruitment is down. And this is one of the reasons. This nonsense is bad for morale, as you mentioned.
Well, recruitment's down for a lot of reasons. Who wanted to serve under Kamala Harris or Joe Biden when they witnessed the Afghanistan botched withdrawal where you had 13 U.S. service members killed abruptly because of a lack of planning by shame on the United States Marine Corps and the Defense Department for staging that without even recognizing or pushing back on Joe Biden and refusing to put those Marines in harm's way and the corpsman and the soldier that were killed abruptly on that day. Mind you, to my knowledge, none of those Marines that were killed were actually combat Marines. I think one had served in Afghanistan previously, the staff sergeant, but many of them had were doing their duties in other than infantry MOSs, meaning that they were trained in other categories, and yet they were put in one of the most chaotic, dangerous, aggressive withdrawals from Afghanistan, knowing that the Taliban was providing security. My goodness, they also had recognized that there was a potential suicide bomber that had even gotten in the sights of the sniper that many people may have heard testify in Congress, who had lost one of his own limbs in that tragic day. You know, I dare to say, why would anybody trust this administration? Let alone their military leadership. that did not resign. The only one that was forced out was Lieutenant Colonel Schuller, who had protested this debacle publicly. And although we're never supposed to do that publicly, I believe that that man needs to be given massive grace and forgiveness, because it was such a horrific display of a lack of leadership by our U.S. military and our commander-in-chief. And to this day, I think that's been embedded in their brains. Why would they join a service that could guarantee their own, basically have no consideration for their own life?
That's exactly right. We're speaking with Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant. Of course, I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. How do you think Trump's going to keep us out of war? You think he's going to get everybody to Tampa down there in the Middle East? Will they listen to him? Will they stop, do you think?
Well, there is no guarantee, and I want everybody to understand, there is no guarantee that U.S. forces would never be put into harm's way, regardless of any commander-in-chief, because the world is very unpredictable, and I don't want people to suddenly think that he's just going to have a magic wand. However, you know, pushing back on Iran and all of the billions of dollars that were funneled to Iran will be the first step in ensuring that the U.S. is removed from any nuclear agreements with Iran, ensuring that we stomp down on Hezbollah, Houthis, and Hamas to ensure that Israel is able to prosper and be free. Not only that, the hostages must be released. I believe that there's been an agreement that the ceasefire will immediately happen with Trump's reelection. He's done more, not even in the White House. We've seen agreements with even the illegals coming over. They have reversed their migrant path. We have seen that he has already gotten on the phone with Zelensky and made sure that, you know, there's a conversation there on where's your pathway to peace, because this endless war is not going to be on our watch at taxpayers' expense. We do have thousands of military personnel that are based all over the world and in harm's way, in combatant zones, in Syria still, in Iraq still. We do often have to have a presence to ensure that peace is stabilized, but we should not be allowing these festations of the Islamic terrorism, I should say, I'm sorry, the Islamist, which is a totally different mark of Islamic, but Islamist terrorism that have tried this death and destruction upon Israel and all U.S. allies.
We're speaking with Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, of course, as you know. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. Are you? I know you're concerned about the sleeper cells that we know are here in America causing havoc before Trump takes office, maybe after. What are you hearing about that?
I'm not hearing anything about that, to be honest. I think that that is very tightly under wraps with a lot of the intelligence community. We do know that there were ISIS members that were found in the United States that had come over the southern border. I think right now that it is not advantageous to any political party, regardless of your position about President Trump going into the White House, to see that Americans are killed due to the weakened borders under the Biden-Harris administration. That only essentially proves the point of the right. So I expect that our intelligence agencies, I expect that our law enforcement agencies are on high alert to watch and make sure that no one is allowed to cause any death or destruction or chaos on, before, or after Inauguration Day. That would be their goal, and I'm quite confident that they're all on high alert, because that does not work out well for the Biden-Harris administration on any level if they turn a blind eye to this or allow it to happen.
Yeah, and I hope that once, now that Trump's going back into office, that law and order is going to be more, obviously, a lot more easily obtained. I mean, it's the craziness we've seen over the last couple of years, and people just running havoc with the stores and all the crazy stuff that's going on, and there's no pushback. Well, there will be now.
Well, hopefully. You know, the problem is you still have people like Gavin Newsom that are basically running their own dictatorship, I would say, of California, where I happen to be right now. And, you know, maybe that's an extreme word to use, but he puts in extreme policies. But they did reverse. The American voters stepped up on November 5th, 2024. They reversed that very measure that was passed that allowed people to not be charged with a felony if they had shoplifted under $900 worth of goods, which caused everybody to run rampant with stealing and smashing grab. They pushed back on that. It's up to the voters to remove these people from office. President Trump, I want everybody to understand, if you do not change your local election offices, if you don't change those that are running your local governments, President Trump only has so much influence that he can do. He can restrict federal funding. He can stop a lot of activities from happening in your communities through those federal dollars. But it's important that he has the backup so he doesn't constantly have to do a cleanup on aisle 9 with every community that has lackadaisical voters. You know, that's really what's happened.
No, you're exactly right about that. Jesse Jane Duff, always a privilege speaking to you. Thanks for joining me. I know it's early out there in California, but glad to have you. Appreciate you.
It's quite all right. Everybody take the hill. We have won, and we are now planting the flag.
Yes, and happy Veterans Day. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox this morning. Happy to be joined once again by Tom Ackerman, KMOX Sports Director. How are you, buddy?
Heidi, I'm doing great. Always great to be along with you. How you been?
I'm doing well, and I'm excited about my Chiefs because they won again. And I know some people hate on the Chiefs, but darn it! And I know they barely pulled a lot of these games out, but darn it, what an ending yesterday!
They have found a way to sneak these games out, haven't they? And they figured it out yesterday that they just keep the game close, something magical will happen in the final moments. No, it's incredible. I mean, what a gutsy win for them to be able to find a way. 35-yard field goal. You think it's finally going to be over? Someone's going to get the Chiefs at this time at Arrowhead Stadium, and they hadn't lost in 14 consecutive wins they had pulled off, including the Super Bowl. And then they block the field goal, a 35-yard attempt, and that's it. The Chiefs walk away with a 16-14 win. Sean Payton's got that Broncos team playing better, and eventually they will be a good team. But the Chiefs are 9-0, and they don't blow people out. They just find ways to win. In the NFL, that's all you need, Heidi. I mean, just all you have to do is do enough to win the damn game, as a friend of mine, Joel Buschbaum, used to say on KMOX, and they have done that. So they're 9-0. Are they the best team in the league? Yes, their record says they are, and they are the team to beat once again in the NFL.
Yeah, they were fantastic. They really were. And I saw a video someone posted of Patrick Mahomes saying some very nice things to the Broncos, a quarterback. Very encouraging, nice things. And he's always so classy about it.
He is, and Bo Nix is going to be a good one. I think they recognize that. He came right back at him yesterday, and I thought, you know, did what he could to play well and stay in a very, very competitive game. It was a good day for Nix. 22 of 30 passing, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions against a good Chiefs defense. Here's the problem, though. The Chiefs defense is elite. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, finds ways to disrupt you, and the Chiefs won this game not only because of the magical ending and blocking a field goal. They won this game because of defense. The Chiefs shut out the Broncos in the second half. Zero.
Right.
No
right.
points for Denver in the second half, and that's really been the story of the season for the Chiefs. I mean, if you look at their wins, 27-20, 26-25, 22-17, 17-10, 26-13. What is the common factor here? All of their wins they've scored in the 20s or below, except for Tampa Bay, and it took overtime to get to 30. They have won relatively low-scoring games by their standards because their defense keeps them in the game. Now they are going to be challenged Sunday when they go to Buffalo. That is going to be fun. It's going to be a Sunday afternoon game. These are two of the best teams in the league. Kansas City's 9-0, and Buffalo is 8-2. Vegas likes the Bills, a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Chiefs. That's what makes this so much fun. It's going to be a big CBS game, and that is one to absolutely pay attention to. I'm looking forward to that Sunday at 3:25.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. I'm thrilled about that. Yeah, 8-2 and 9-0. That's going to be amazing. It's good. There were some good games this weekend, and there were some really bad games, obviously. The Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, they're bad. The Cowboys are a really bad team. And, you know, I'm not sure what Jerry Jones is going to do there. I can't see him firing his coach in the middle of the season. Maybe at this point you just wait till the end of the year to do that. But Dallas is a bad football team. They're 3-6. They've given up 259 points this season. That is the second most in the NFC. The worst is actually Tampa Bay. Actually, Carolina. It's the third worst, and Carolina's given up the most to Tampa Bay and then this Dallas team. The other good team in the NFL right now is Detroit. The Lions pulled off a great win last night besting the Houston Texans on the road by a final of 26-23, and they made their field goal at the end, a 52-yarder by Jake Bates, to overcome five interceptions by their quarterback, Jared Goff, and they win the game 26-23 over Houston. The Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFC right now, Heidi. They are 8-1 on the season. They have won seven in a row. Now, they've won a lot of those in blowout fashion, but this is one of those games that the Chiefs would nod their heads and be very proud of. They found a way to pull it off even though they weren't at their best.
So how do you see it? You think the Chiefs are going to maintain their record of not losing anything? I mean, obviously they're heading for the playoffs, but do you think anyone will beat them? You said Buffalo is a possibility.
I think the Bills will beat them. I think that this streak is going to come to an end on Sunday, and the Bills will beat them this time around. But, you know, if you look at the rest of Kansas City's schedule, they've got Carolina on the road. They should take care of that easily. The Raiders and Chargers.
They suck. Raiders suck.
Raiders and Chargers both at home. They go to Cleveland. They play Houston at home, which will be a showdown right before Christmas. And then the two tough ones at the end of the regular season for them will be at Pittsburgh, at Denver. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're in line right now to be hosting playoff games and if they stay at this clip. But I think they're going to lose to Buffalo. I think the Bills will be ready for them, and that should be an absolute blast to watch that on Sunday.
Should be tons of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Tom Ackerman, KMOX Sports Director. Great. Thanks for joining me in the Mark Cox Morning Show, and I'm always happy to get when I get to sit in and talk to you.
Always great to talk football with you. You have an outstanding day, and thank you to our veterans, the men and women of this country who sacrifice, who give their lives, who help us in our freedoms, and also thank you to everyone who gives to these veterans and their families for years and years to help them. There are so many services available, and it's easy to explore and find one that can help a veteran out there. So I just wanted to say that. I don't think sometimes we say that enough, and today, of course, is the day to say that over and over.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate
Thanks, Heidi.
It. Thank you. I do want to mention something that happened on Sunday, and I don't know. I wasn't watching. All right. So I've seen the news reports. I mean, I lied. I watch the Fox pregame show every Sunday, the NFL pregame show. Love it. But it usually starts where I am. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. All right. So I turned it on like 5 minutes to nine, and it was already on because they did an extended version for Veterans Day. I didn't know that. All right. Great show. A lot of great things happened on the show. But then, and I missed this because I was kind of walking in and out of the room, but apparently when the national anthem was played, Michael Strahan standing there without putting his hand on his heart in front of a bunch of people on a ship in the San Diego Naval Base. I mean, are you kidding me? And his father's a veteran. So I don't know what happened, but I frustrating. I don't know. A lot of people are asking for him to be fired. I wouldn't go that far, but that's pretty tacky. I mean, really, you don't have your hand on your heart? And there are a lot of pictures floating around about it and national anthem, and you don't have your hand on your heart. I'm sorry, would you like to go to another country where you have more freedom? Then please go. That's very disappointing because I do like that crew, and I think he's a very talented guy, but that's disappointing. So I don't know what happened, but, you know, how can you not put your hand on your heart for the national anthem of the greatest country in the world? How can you do that? I don't know. Don't understand that at all, but... You know, people have responded. I don't blame them. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. Coming right back.
This is your First Responder Spotlight.
Let's put some emphasis on the Shrewsbury Police Department today. We so appreciate all of what you guys do for us. And if you see anybody from the Shrewsbury Police Department out there today, please say something nice to them. By the way, I also wanted to mention, you can go to 971talk.com or text responder to 3310 to get your tickets for the 2024 ATF raffle. So that's always cool. Once again, 971talk.com or text the word responder to 3310 and you can get your tickets to the 2024 ATF raffle. So thank you for the Shrewsbury Police Department. And, you know, we're grateful. We're grateful for all of our men and women in blue. And if you see anybody, wherever you are, whatever department's near you, please give them a thumb up. I do that. I don't see police, thank God, very often in my neighborhood. The other day, we had a couple of cops and new people moved in. Here we go. Cops were there and I walked by and I said, what's all the excitement? I said, we don't usually get you guys over here. And they said, yeah, we don't come over here very often. And I always say, I appreciate you. When I see them, I say, I appreciate what you do. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for doing what you do for us, because they get so little appreciation, unfortunately, from so many people. So please tell them how much you care about them, and please salute the veterans today, too. This is what it's coming down to in America. We have to appreciate the people who make us great and keep us free. That's what it comes down to, because they're out there every single day. The veterans on the front lines, even behind the scenes, they're doing everything they can to keep us prepared to have to defend our freedom again. And they're out there doing all kinds of things every day. They're defending our freedom that we don't hear about. So please keep them in mind, and the police officers too. If you see one, give them a thumb up, but be careful when, you know, don't give them like, you know, just give them a thumb up, put your phone down, give them a thumb up. Yeah. Appreciate that. It's important. It's important to see what's happening here. By the way, if you want to see the Annie Frye crew, they are going to be in the Edwardsville Veterans Day Parade today. That's 3 p.m. Starts at 3 p.m. So obviously, you want to get there early, get a parking spot, bring your chairs, all that stuff. Get ready to salute the veterans. Bring your flags. Wear your MAGA clothes, I'd recommend, or red, white, and blue, whatever, and salute the veterans. That's today in Edwardsville, Illinois, 3 p.m. on the 900 block of North Main Street. They're going to go down Main Street and end on West Street. So the Annie Frye crew will be a part of the Veterans Day today in Edwardsville. So please plan to join them if you can. And once again, saluting the veterans is important. And you know, most years, almost pretty much every year, I ride in the Veterans Day Parade here in Vegas. And I can tell you, there are tons of children, tons of kids out there. And that is so important, parents. The kids are out of school today. Take them out. And if I hope you already talked to them about veterans and talked to them about how amazing they are. Take them out. Have them meet some of these veterans, the younger ones, the older ones. Have them meet them. Talk about what they do and how important it is to keep us free. You know, hopefully we've turned a corner here as a nation. At the very least, I hope that I know we have put a speed bump in the plans of Obama / Biden / Kamala. We've done that at the very least, maybe slowed the slide a little bit. But at the end of the day, our issues are cultural and our issues are spiritual, because we've been calling good evil and evil good for a very long time. And why do we do that? We do that because we get away from God, in my opinion. When you get away from God, that's what you start doing. Oh, that's okay. Oh, all right. Well, that's okay. Okay. Well, they did that on that TV show, so that must be okay. So you don't have any barometer. You don't have any basis for what's right or wrong anymore. You get away from God, that's whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you happy. You be you. We've seen a lot of that in this country in the last few years. Well, a long time, but obviously the last few years, it seems to have accelerated. You know, things with the kids. You know, kids getting... Megyn Kelly was on Bill Maher's show the other day. I don't watch Bill Maher, but I like Megyn Kelly. And she was on his show, and I saw a clip of it somewhere. You know, anymore, you don't have to watch a show to see a clip of it somewhere. I've never watched The View, a whole View episode. But they have the best PR machine in the world. So all of a sudden, everything anybody says is everywhere. But Megyn Kelly was on Bill Maher's show, and she was talking about the transgender thing with the kids. And what happens to kids and getting, you know, healthy body parts cut off. And the audience went, I thought, well, how do you not know this? You know, can you imagine having this conversation 10 years ago, 20 years ago? You know, 5 years ago, some of the things we're talking about. And interestingly, I have talked to a lot of people. You can follow me, all socials, Heidi Harris Show. I do podcasts and videos and all kinds of stuff. I've interviewed many parents about the trans issue who are not political conservatives. I interviewed a woman the other day. I'm going to put that up online, my podcast this week. She created a documentary called Dead Named. You know what dead naming is? That's when you call a kid, you know, let's say your name is, you know, Alexa. Now they want to call you Alex. If you call that child Alexa, now you've dead named them. Okay. Whole documentary. She's not a conservative, a political conservative. But all of us are starting to get together and go, this isn't right. But we are calling evil good and good evil. We've gotten away from saying this is wrong, period. And being willing to stand up, and I don't care what you call me. It doesn't matter. That doesn't make you right. You could call me a phobe this, a trans whatever that, or, you know, an IST, or, you know, I'm a racist, I'm this, I'm just silly. You can call me any name you want to call me, but this is still wrong, what we're doing, especially to children under 18 in that case. It's outrageous. So we have to, but if you have more of a spiritual backbone, you'll be more willing to stand up and go, no, that's wrong. And I don't care if you're mad. And I don't care if you call me any name in the book. You can call me garbage like Biden called us. You can call us what, you know, whatever you want to call us. That doesn't make me wrong. And that's what we need. We need more people with a spiritual backbone. Obviously, a political backbone is good, too. But a spiritual backbone is important. Got to stand up. And I do not believe that Trump is the spiritual savior of this nation. We've got to turn back to God for that. But at the very least, hopefully, people will be emboldened now to stand up and go, no, this is wrong. These things that are happening are wrong. Like we talked about with Jesse Jane Duff, these people should not be in the military, not able to even deploy because they've got diapers on their, you know, whatever they've been operated on. That's ridiculous. But that's where we are now. That's an Obama thing initially. And then Biden accelerated it. This shouldn't happen. These are no-brainers that hopefully we're going to be able to get back to. So anyway, I don't mean to get so intense today, but I do once in a while because I'm glad to see, hopefully, the tide turning a little bit. Listen, it's been a privilege sitting in for Mark Cox and the crazy crew today. Don't forget, you can see the Annie Fry crew out at the Edwardsville Veterans Day Parade today in Edwardsville, Illinois. The Cox crew was out there at the Florissant Parade yesterday. And if you see a veteran, any kind of veteran, anywhere, please thank them. Matter of fact, if you see a veteran behind you in the drive-thru or something, you're getting lunch, buy their lunch. If they have a sticker on that says they're a veteran, buy them lunch or something. I don't know. Just do something nice for somebody today. Get out to the parades if you can. And thank God for our freedom. Thank you, Ethan, for helping me out. It was a great show today. Had a lot of fun with you, as always.
Thank you.
Mark Cox and crew return tomorrow. I'm Heidi Harris. Always a lot of fun.
Get more at 971talk.com.